turn to the content. It has all the books in the Old Testament listed, and then at the bottom of the page it has all the books of the New Testament listed. And if you count, see the row that begins with Genesis, Exodus, how many you got there? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel.
13.
13? And you got three rows, and 13 times 3 is what? 39. There's a total of 39 books in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you count the first row, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Three rows, that's 27 books in the New Testament. All right, so 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. There's more in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. Now, I've heard so many Christians say, the Old Testament is just old history. And they don't read it, and they don't understand it. But there's a reason. This book happens to be the most interesting book that you can find. There's not another book in the world that can come up or match this one. It is tremendous. But the problem is people don't take the time and the energy to read it, to understand it, and to know what it says. But this is God's Word for us. Now, I remember I was sitting in a little Baptist church one Sunday, and the two old ladies were sitting in the pew right in front of me. And one of them said, "Miss Annie, you bring your Bible to church?" She said, "No, I paid a preacher to read my Bible for me." Yeah, and there's a lot of people that read the Bible and don't really read it because they don't understand it. The Bible is a closed book. Okay. And you can read it your whole life and never understand it. How do you get the understanding? Is when you open your heart to really want to know the Lord, then it will begin to open up to you and you can begin to read it and have some understanding. But until your heart is right, you're not going to see it or understand it. Now, let's turn over just a few pages. Genesis is the beginning. First verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Everything that there is, God created it. He created the heavens, He created all the planets, everything. The earth, the heavens, and everything that is in it. That's quite a creation. And that's the first verse. Now, turn over to chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." What in the world is this garden that he's talking about? Now here's something that's good to know. The New Testament is hid in the Old Testament. You will read the Old Testament, but you will not find the truths and the things of the New Testament in it unless God opens it up to you so that you can see it. It's hid in there. And how do we get to the place where we can see the things that are hidden in the Bible? It's a matter of your heart. Now, this garden that is planted, when you go to the New Testament, you find out that this garden is actually the many-membered body of Christ. Look at verse 10. "A river went out of Eden, water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads." So, Moses is telling us here, he wrote this. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and they are literally fantastic. But this river is running out of the garden. Now, we just learned that the garden is the many-membered body of Christ. And the river is the water of life, or the river of life. It is the ministry of God's life to us. And this river parts and becomes into four heads. What are those four heads? Oh, lo and behold, that's talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John in the New Testament, that is the four rivers that come out of the garden. Your main teachings that you want to receive concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the many-membered body of Christ that you're to be a part of is found in those four rivers of life that is ultimately Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I find that very interesting. Now, not going to go any further on that. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 13.
John
New
what?
Testament is hid in the Old Testament. What do we see? It's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. Why is there more in the Old Testament than the New Testament? The Old Testament is very important. It's so important that you're going to have a good heart to be able to read it and to understand it. Do you want to really know the Lord?
Yes.
And this is the problem that we have. God is spirit. Yeah, well, there's also the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was on earth for a period of time. Well, he's God, and he's spirit. Here's a connecting link. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. That's what you are. You have this body, and in this body is the soul. And the soul is very difficult to understand and very difficult to corral too. But your spirit, you have a spirit, but it does not come alive until you begin to know the Lord and to understand Him. It's spirit to spirit. If you want to really know the Lord and to serve Him, then you're going to have to become a spirit person. And your spirit is going to have to come alive and become aware of God and to serve Him. And there's your problem in so many Christian churches today. The Christians, their spirit never comes alive under the Lord. Consequently, they'll have their teachings of this and that, and it becomes something of religion. Did everybody go to John chapter 13? John's
yes,
gospel is a very unique gospel. Now, who knows how many disciples there was that followed Christ? There was 12 disciples. There was three of those disciples that followed him a little closer than the rest. And among those three was one named John. And John was the closest one to the Lord of all. He is the one that the Bible speaks about, that he leaned upon the bosom of the Lord at the times when they met together. And John wrote this gospel, and beginning with verse 13, is very unique. Now, before you get to chapter 13, Jesus did a lot of wonderful things. He ministered to the multitudes. He healed people. He even raised the dead a few times. He did some tremendous things. However, when you begin with chapter 13 in John, everything changes. He does not minister to the multitudes again. He only ministers to his 12 disciples. From chapter 13 on, is ministry of Christ to his disciples. Why is that the case? The case is that Jesus knew that his time was running short, that he was going to be crucified on the cross, and he would be resurrected and go back up into heaven and become spirit again. And that being the case, there had to be some that would continue the ministry of Christ on the earth. That was the purpose for the 12 disciples. They were to become a many-membered Christ and to continue the ministry of Christ after he left. All right, let's look at the first verse of chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. So he knows he's leaving this world, and he's going unto the Father. Now, you have to understand the way these things come about. He goes unto the Father. That does not mean that the Father's up there and he's down here and he's going to go meet the Father. He is the Father. You see, he changes what he is. He's not just Jesus the Nazarene. He is the Father and he's going back to Spirit. All right, where did I stop? Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, and King James had some bunch of guys that supposedly could understand Greek, and they changed it into English so that we would have that in an English setting. But they didn't always get it just right. And where it says at the end of this verse, he loved them until the end. There's a particular Greek word there for end. It's teleo, T-E-L-E-O, teleo. It means completion. He's speaking about a disciple. He loved them, but he loves them until they are completed. Now, the love that God has for you doesn't last just a few minutes. It doesn't just last for a certain period of time, but you're to be completed, finished, a completed work. And he's going to love you and keep loving you. And the love that the Lord has for us is a creative love. With his love, he creates us into what he wants us to be. Of course, there's the necessity in that, that we have to respond to his love. Remember this, nothing just happens. God works and he creates and he uses his love to do the creation. Now, bring this out, because from this chapter 13 of John all the way to the end of the book has to do with Christ ministering primarily to his 12 disciples, creating them, loving them. They had to become the new Christ on the earth. Now, turn over to verses 33, 34, 35 of chapter 13. Jesus is talking to his disciples, little children. That's what we are compared to him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, he said, I'm leaving, and where I'm going, you can't come. 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? With a creativity to create them into what they are to be. And he says, now, you're going to have to love one another in the same way that I have loved you. That means we have the responsibility to create one another with that same love. And then in verse 35, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This will be the telltale mark of whether you're a disciple of the Lord or not. Do you have that love one for another? Now, as you continue on through the book of John, and I hope you will continue to read it. It's fantastic. Look at the first verse in chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I found out the Lord worked a little miracle. He worked a big miracle with me. He gave understanding of the scriptures in the very beginning that just blew my mind. And I realized that just having a King James Bible was not enough. I had to learn a little bit about the Greek, the original language, because, like I said, this whole New Testament is written in Greek. The whole Old Testament is written in Hebrew. You're going to have to know a little bit of each if you're going to really get to the real meat of the Word and to understand it. So you can't really trust the King James translators in getting it perfect. But that first verse, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. A more correct reading of the Greek is, let not your heart be troubled, you believe into God, believe also into me. Now, if you're just going to believe in him, he can be up in heavens, and you can say, I believe in the Lord. He can do all things. He's wonderful. He's great. He's God. I believe in that. But to believe into him means that your life penetrates his life, and there's a oneness that begins to take place. It's kind of like a young man marries a young girl. They love each other, and as the days and the years go by, they not only learn to love each other more, they become one. They become one person, you see. And that's what we need to do with the Lord. We love him, but our believing in him is going to be a believing into him. And as you study the Bible and really learn what it says, you'll find out that that's the name of the game, moving into his life. Do yourself a favor and begin with chapter 13 of John and read right on through to the end of that particular book. It all has to do with you. I don't know if you've read one of the new books that we've got out, but there's a message in it. It's titled, Find Yourself in the Scriptures. You are in here. I think it's in chapter 8. Let me see if I can see it. Verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth. Yeah, this is it. He went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden in the which he entered and his disciples. Now, what this is talking about, that they were just celebrated the feast of Passover. He and his disciples, they went up into this room, and they had the Passover. And after eating the Passover, they came out of the house, and they walked down this path and went over the brook Kedron is the way it should be pronounced, and went into this garden. On a particular occasion, as I was reading this, how that they had partook of the Passover in that room, and then they walked out of the room, walked out of the house, and went down this path and crossed over the brook Kedron and went into the garden with his disciples. I had this strangest feeling that came over me. And when it happened, I realized it wasn't just them walking down there. I was right in the middle of it. I was walking down through that Kedron Valley along with them. You want to get to the place where you begin to see and find your life in the scriptures. It's there. If you can see it and find it, everything about your life is right there in these scriptures. And the most amazing thing is that you can read about the things that Christ did and then realize that in some strange way, even before you were born, you were involved in the ministry of Christ. It's there. Now, turn back to chapter 16. I want to read one little section here, and I'm going to stop. I don't know if I've been able to stir anything up in you or not, but I encourage your hearts to give yourself to the study of these scriptures, because your life is in it, and they hold the key to your life becoming into His life. Now, go on down to verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He has a lot that He wants to reveal to you. And some of the things He wants to reveal to you, He cannot reveal to you right now. Why is that? Well, you're going to have to grow a little bit. You don't start off with meat and taters. You have to have some pablum in the beginning. Depends on where you are spiritually. It's here a little, there a little. It's step by step. You learn. I have many things to say unto you. God has so much He wants to reveal to you. If you'll get to a place where that you can hear. Verse 13. Very important. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come. As I mentioned, the Greek is just a little bit different. It says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is coming, He will guide you into all truth. There's a reason for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth is the Spirit of Christ. He will guide you into all truth. This is important. Open your heart to the Lord. He will guide you and lead you and teach you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and show you things to come. Or He will show you things that are coming. There are many things that the Lord has for you. And as they're coming, He wants you to be able to receive them. And that's why it's so very important to receive the Holy Spirit in your life, because that's His function. That's what He does. It leads you, teaches you, and brings to life within you all the things of Christ.